Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it.
We must show them love.
We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
I am so excited today. There's this presence of the Spirit of God in the studio that it feels like revival is in the air. It feels like a revival anointing. And with me, I have one of my spiritual leaders, Dr. Che An. And Che, I'm so glad that you're here. And can you feel the presence of God here?
Well, I do. And I think it's emanating from you. I think you're so full of the Holy Spirit.
I think fire is just awesome.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Oh, amen. And you too.
And the presence of God is just permeating all over this place.
Yeah. And I just want to say to our viewers, get ready, because I think revival could break out right where you are.
Absolutely.
And especially on this subject, because Che, I love this book. I've read this book. You gave it to me when it first came out. It's God Wants to Bless You. And this is a subject that I am passionate about, because I believe that every believer needs to live in that covenant of blessing. It's what we've been promised.
That's right.
And so I was so glad when you brought that book out. And I wanted to open with a scripture. It's one of my favorites. It's out of Deuteronomy 28. And it says, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you." Now, none of us have obeyed all the commandments of the Lord.
Right.
So we don't really qualify, excepting Jesus did it for us.
Exactly.
And so he has fulfilled it all so that we could come into covenant with him. He did all the work. We get all the blessings.
Exactly.
And it's just, I mean, that's something to shout hallelujah over.
Well, when Jesus said it is finished, he took our sickness, he took our sins, of course, he took all the curses, he became a curse for us, so we could be redeemed from the curse. And it says that the blessing of Abraham can come upon us. And that's why one of my favorite verses, Ephesians 1:3, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms.
Amen.
It is finished, it's done for us.
We just
have to pull it down by faith.
Amen. And we can live in that. It says the righteous lives by his faith.
That's right.
And so we live in faith in the blessings. And it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done in the past. Oh, the blood of Jesus makes you brand new on the inside so that you can live in the blessings of God. So, Che, tell us, like, what does it look like for a believer to live in the blessing? Like, what areas of their life would be blessed, and what would that look like for them?
Well, I think the main thing for me is the presence of God. We have something that the world does not have. Again, we were talking about Colossians 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, I'm from LA, and Hollywood spends billions of dollars every year for movie production, best special effects. And by the way, they're all owned by 7 Jewish CEOs.
Wow.
And so we see the blessing of God on the Jewish people, because that's the covenant that God made with Abraham.
Yes.
Back in Genesis 12, before his name was changed to Abraham, I will bless you. But the most important part is so that all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So knowing the purpose of that is really, really critical. And I want to come back to that. But I was just thinking, you know, they have all this. And right now, the Jewish people are not jealous of Christians because they have more money.
Right, right.
I mean, when you think about all the Nobel Prize winners, 35% of all the
Jewish
Nobel Prize winners, or less than 1% of the Jewish, the world's population are Jewish, and they have won 35% of all the Nobel Prize, 25% in science alone. And yet, we have something they don't have. We have the presence of God. And the thing is that when we have his presence, his glory, his manifest presence, we have everything. Problem is that as believers, we haven't tapped into that.
Right.
You know, Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge."
Yeah.
They don't know their inheritance, and they don't know the blessings that we have. And so as a result of that, they're struggling, whereas God wants us to live this abundant life so that we can be a blessing to the nations.
Like Jesus said, I came that you would have life in its abundance, John 10:10.
Exactly.
He didn't say, I came that you would have a garbage life.
Right.
And yet, you know, I believe that a religious spirit has tried to get into the church
right.
and make people believe that we're not supposed to be blessed.
Right.
Because I meet Christians all the time that struggle with that, especially in the area of financial blessing.
Exactly.
And I believe that Christians are to be financially blessed
Absolutely.
So that we can be a blessing.
Well, even that great verse in Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory
yep.
and in Christ Jesus. So it's in the glory realm.
Yeah.
And we need to pull it down. We need to realize that he has provided for all of us his riches in glory. I mean, what is that? I mean, the silver says, the gold yeah. says, cattle on a thousand hills. And so we see how Jesus became poor that we might be made rich in 2 Corinthians 8:9. And a lot of people have super spiritualized that passage.
Yeah.
And you look at all the commentaries on that passage, and they're talking about spiritual riches, but it's in the context of finances.
I know,
Paul's raising
is.
Money to give to the poor in Jerusalem. And so he's trying to motivate them by grace. He's talking about finances.
Yeah.
So he said, Jesus became poor. He was stripped naked on the cross so that we might be financially rich, because it takes finances to bless the nations, to
mm-hmm.
help orphanages and help feed the poor, plant churches,
yep.
all the work that's being done yep. to advance his kingdom.
There was a divine exchange on the cross. Jesus
exactly.
took all of our garbage and then gave us all of his riches.
Exactly.
I love that song. It's based on a verse out of Job. And, you know, it talks about the blessing of the Lord. And it's like he has taken away all of our garbage. He's taken away our sickness, taken away our disease, taken away our poverty, taken away our oppression, and given us riches and health and strength and all those great things. I mean, this is the good news of the gospel.
And, you know, I just saw one of the most amazing healings and miracles. I was in Hong Kong around a year and a half ago, and a woman came in, stage 4 cancer. The doctors gave her 1 month to live, so it's August. They said she'll be dead by September. And she also had a cancerous tumor on her neck.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had bone cancer and this cancerous tumor. And she's sitting there. They brought her in a wheelchair. She had not, I mean, her daughter was carrying her from bed to the wheelchair for 4 months. So she had not walked in 4 months. And as she's hearing me preach, I didn't even pray for her. I didn't even give her a word of knowledge. But just in the middle of the message, she heard the words that Jesus took our sickness on the cross
mm-hmm.
and that by his stripes we're healed, Isaiah 53.
Right.
But it became rhema to her. And she said, oh my goodness, Jesus took this cancer on the cross.
Wow.
And then she heard the voice of the Lord say, get out of the wheelchair. So she turns to her daughter and said, would you help me out of the wheelchair? And she said, Mom, you know, where am I going to put you? You know, I mean, this is basically the bed or the wheelchair.
Right.
He said, help me out. And she stands up. The moment she stands up, Patricia, healing comes into her body. And then she says,
wow.
I want you to walk me to the ladies' room. Now, we're in Hong
wow.
Kong, so the ladies' room is outside the office building, which they had renovated into
right.
a sanctuary, all the way down the hall to the, you know, the bathroom
right.
that people would use.
It was a bit of a
bathroom.
Journey for
yeah,
her.
Yeah, right. It was quite a journey. It was the furthest distance
yeah.
From where we were. And she walks there, she comes back. Now, I didn't know what had happened, because then we start praying. A year later, she comes walking into the building, because I'm there every year to visit our HIM church. She comes walking in to testify, totally healed of cancer. But it happened with the revelation that by his stripes,
come on,
we're healed. And so I just wanted to just encourage you that if you are fighting sickness,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want you to receive the blessing
right
of
now.
God, that mm-hmm. he took your sickness, he took your pain 2,000 years
Come
ago,
on.
And that inheritance of healing
Whoa.
Is yours now in Yeshua. And so receive that by faith.
I feel that going. You know, earlier we heard about the rhema word. You receive the rhema word. That's that God-quickened word, the one he quickens by his spirit. And there's someone right now, you are getting it. You are just feeling, whoa, that blessing is for me. You've been crying out to God. You haven't seen anything happen, but right now it is happening. And we want you to write in at info@xpministries.com and let us know about that healing, because I feel it so strong. And also with this whole area of financial blessing, I'm getting a word right now for a number of you that have been struggling with lack. And I have a passion for this. I don't like to see any believer living in lack, because I know that's not our call.
Amen.
We are called to live in abundance, and I have great compassion for those of you that are living in lack. But I want you to get really close to your screen right now, because there is a revival anointing, and revival means to bring back to life or to renew the original state. Well, the original state that God gave to you was abundance and extravagance. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, we break the power of the curse of poverty, and we release blessing upon you in the area of financial and provisional miracles in Jesus' name.
Now, wow. Patricia, can I actually give the decree concerning finances?
Yeah,
because
really.
This is what I wrote, 10 decrees. And it
but in this book.
It came by revelation based on a prophetic word. A friend of mine gave me a word. He said, you're going to write a book on blessings. You're going to make decrees of blessing over your network of churches. And so the Lord gave me this. And so I want to just decree this in Jesus' name. I decree a blessing over your finances, that God would break the spirit of poverty off of you and your bloodline, and that you would prosper financially, that God will bless you with the power to gain wealth, that you would advance his kingdom. Excuse me, advance his kingdom with your generosity. So just receive that right now. I break that spirit of poverty off of you and your family. It's not just for you, but also for your family in Jesus' name.
Wow, I love it. I could feel the power on that. You know, Che, in Isaiah 60, it says, arise and shine because your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So all throughout Isaiah 60, we see the word glory.
Right.
And glory means, I mean, it means the weight of God. It means the splendor of God. But it also talks about his wealth.
Yeah.
Glory, it actually talks about that when you look up the definitions of it.
Right.
But in Isaiah 60, that whole chapter is specifically about wealth. It even says the wealth of the nations will come to you.
That's right.
A lot of times we over-spiritualize that and say, well, that means the souls, which I don't think there's a greater wealth to God than the souls of people.
Right.
But in all honesty, in the context that it's being used in, it's not talking about souls. It's talking about camels, gold, silver, spices, wood. It even lists all the commodities, and they were extremely expensive commodities in that day.
Exactly.
And it says, but when this glory appears upon us, it's going to attract wealth. And I feel that when we talk about the blessing, when we look at Abraham, for example, he was blessed with the glory of God. He was blessed with the presence of God leading him.
Right.
He was blessed with the wisdom of God. He was blessed with the victories of God. But one of the predominant areas of blessing that is highlighted in Scripture was the blessing of the riches of his flocks, of his herds, of his gold, his silver. And it very specifically mentions these things in Scripture. And I'm kind of leaning on this one right now, because so many Christians live with no expectation for that kind of blessing in their life, because they feel like they're not allowed to. And that's a religious spirit that
is
lying to them. But Abraham walked in the fullness of the blessing, and you and your family walk in that blessing.
Yeah, we have. It's been amazing. But, you know, the turning point for me was in 1997. And I had an incident that happened. It was our prophetic conference. We had Cindy Jacobs speaking. And during the intermission, during the lunch break, before the afternoon session, one of our church members came to me and said, Pastor, we've had the worst week. My husband got laid off at his work, and then I got laid off. And this has never happened to us before, so we prayed about it, and out of our need, we want to plant a seed. So all we have is $2,000 in cash, and she had it in an envelope, so I want to lay it at your feet. But here's what I said. I said, her name is Patricia, too. I said, Patricia, listen, we're doing fine as a church. You need some money to hold you over. And so I thought I was being real pastoral, practical. And so I gave the money back to her, and she was offended. I didn't know she was offended. And so she saw Cindy at the bookstore. She went to the bookstore, told the whole episode. Cindy came running out of the bookstore. I mean, she was absolutely furious. I saw smoke coming out of her nose and her ears. You know, she was so mad. And here she is in her high heels and a dress running towards me with the envelope in her hand, with Patricia trying to keep up with her. She comes and waves that envelope at my face, and she said, did you refuse this woman's offering? I said, yeah, I did, but she just lost her job. Her husband lost his job. And then Cindy said, do you believe in the Word of God? I said, what?
of course
I believe in the Word of God. She said, no, you don't. Because it says in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. She was sowing this so she could receive a blessing, and you robbed her of the blessing.
Wow.
You just received this right now. And it hit me. I said, you're right. And so I took the offering. And then she said, I think you have a spirit of poverty. So the next thing she goes and she begins to break curses off of me. She begins to do exorcism
awesome.
on our mop floor where we were at. But it was right. Something broke. And so here's what happens. So Cindy gets up. I thought it was over, right? When she gets to preach that afternoon, she tells the whole episode again in front of 2,000 people. I'm dying in my seat. I'm so embarrassed. But she gets up and she says to Patricia, come on up here. And she said to Patricia is that, you gave out of your need. You sow a seed. And so I'm going to encourage anyone who's here, we're going to take up a spontaneous offering. Anyone who feels led, come and lay money at our feet. Well, almost $20,000 came in,
wow.
cash, just
wow.
from the
wow.
afternoon
wow.
spontaneous. 10 times of what she sold
wow.
to me. And you know what happened? That week, she got a better job.
Come
I kid
on.
You not. And her husband got a better job.
Come on.
Just within 1 week. And I said, oh, my goodness, Lord, forgive me
yeah.
for limiting the Holy One yes. of Israel and having unbelief and not receiving.
Yeah.
And so something broke. And from and that was so crucial because as I helped Lou with the call in the year 2000, we had to raise $10 million for 7 stadium events.
Yeah.
I was taking up offerings every night. And before Patricia, I would be apologetic about offerings in my church. I would just say, if you're a guest, just feel released. Don't feel obligated and, just hem and haw during the offering. But something changed. And from that point on, when I realized people are blessed when they give.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, we have seen our ministry grow. We have seen God provide for us in amazing ways. Even personally, my wife and I began to sow. The Lord spoke to us to give away 50%.
Mm-hmm.
This is back in 2000. Took us around 5 years to get
right.
to that point. We just practiced graduated
yeah.
giving. And the most amazing thing happened. Right after my CPA told me that we had hit the 51%, out of the blue, a friend of mine calls me. He's a businessman, and he has an office in New York, Los Angeles, and Taiwan. And he said, I'm going to be in L.A. coming in from New York. Can I meet with you and your wife? And are you in town? And I said, I am in town. And he said, can I take you out to lunch after service? Because I want to attend H Rock and the church that I founded,
mm-hmm.
H Rock Church. And I said, I'll be happy to, you're in town. You're my spiritual son. I'd love to get together. And the most amazing thing happened because during lunch, he said, the Lord spoke to me to give you 250,000 shares of my company stock.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, I said, no, I'm sorry, 200,000 shares of my company stock. And I'm thinking that penny stocks, I mean, what is this, how much is this worth? And but I didn't want to be rude, so we're just eating this. And he says, under the condition, this is just for you. Because I know you, Papa Che,
right.
calls me Papa Che, you'll give it to the church, you'll give it to HIM. This is for you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stunning because I found out the stocks were worth $2.50. We're talking about he gave me $500,000 right
wow.
there, Patricia. And as a result of that, we were able to buy homes for our kids who live close by and
beautiful.
Now could be near my grandchildren and all that. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you think you're giving a lot by giving over 50%, but you can't outgive me. So I would want to just encourage you, the generous person will prosper.
Yeah.
One of the ways we tap into the blessing of wealth is by sowing and being generous. And so I want to encourage that spirit and culture of generosity for those who are watching. Sow into your
yeah.
ministry, XP Media, as well as your local church, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Bible is clear about that. It says that generous man is blessed.
Exactly.
It just says it.
Exactly.
And ever since you've been talking about it, I see on your left shoulder, down halfway down your arm, this bright green light, and it goes all the way to halfway through on this shoulder. I can see it. I don't know if people on camera can see it, but it's there. And green speaks of prosperity. It's prosperity
money,
and healing.
Yeah.
And so it's like I just see that on your shoulders. And shoulder is a symbol of apostolic authority. So the apostolic blessing of prosperity. And I was wondering, and it's interesting because your book is green, right?
That's right.
Could you release a prosperity blessing over
yeah.
those that are watching?
Yeah, I do want to do that because, but I want to just say again, the blessings for the nations.
Mm-hmm.
In Psalm 61, verse 1, the psalmist is praying, Lord, be merciful merciful to me, bless me, allow your face to shine upon me, that your way may be known on earth and salvation among all the nations. And so my motivation wasn't to just get blessed.
Right.
I mean, our motivation was just so into advancing the kingdom. Mm-hmm. That's why we set the goal for over 50%. And God turns around and blesses us personally, and people watch that, and my family and relatives are blown away by that because they know I'm a pastor, and there's no way I could buy a house in Los Angeles unless it's supernatural, let alone two other houses with this gift that was given to us. And so God is so good. He loves you so much. So, Father, I pray right now with the mantle you've given to me and the grace you give me, Deuteronomy 8:18, that you've given me the power to gain wealth. And Lord, I know it's been kingdom ministry and raising money for initiatives like The Call, but I pray for that impartation to take place and to be given to everyone who's watching for their own personal needs, their business needs, their family needs, as well as their ministry needs. Receive that by faith in Jesus' name. So Lord, I pray Deuteronomy 8:18, that you too will receive the power to gain wealth, to affirm the covenant that God made with our forefathers, of course, mentioning Abraham. And Patricia, I give that to you because I believe that your ministry is going to continue to explode and God's going to give you disruptive technology, intellectual properties.
Wow.
And it's just going to just be multiplied.
Awesome. I believe it. You know, I'm just picking up on something here I want to address for any of you that are watching that you're struggling right now. In fact, struggling with offense. And there's someone in particular that you struggle because of years ago when the Word Faith movement was coming up and there was prosperity messages coming out. You took offense to that message. And I'm not saying that there wasn't extremes in that whole movement that didn't need to be adjusted. That's the same with every revival needs to have adjustment. When a baby's born, not everything that comes forth out of the womb is baby. That baby has to be cleaned up. It has to be separated out. But the thing is, if you take up offense, you block off your blessing. You were made to be blessed in every area of your life, in relationship with God, in relationship with others, in your health, in your strength, your vitality, your interchanges in life, and in your provision. And oftentimes, if people are offended, they get jealous then of those who are blessed. And if you're struggling with that, I just am asking you, please repent. Change your mind about it. Because God wants you to live in the blessing realm. You see, in Genesis 1, verse 27 and 28, he said you were created in his image. And then he said, and he blessed you and said, be fruitful and multiply. You weren't made for a curse. You were made to live in a zone of blessing. And even when things come into your life that don't look like a blessing, we have the power, Jay, in Christ to turn it into a blessing.
Exactly.
And that's what God wants because he's glorified in that. He's glorified in us being blessed. He's a good, good Father.
Right.
Amen.
Can I just emphasize something you just hit? You said there's a religious spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It is a religious spirit. And it's amazing because the Jewish people, they have come into the blessing. They don't have a poverty mentality because they know the word. They know their inheritance. In fact, one third of all the multimillionaires in America are Jewish. And again, you know, less than just 1% of the world's population, and yet they run so many of the corporations. But what happened with the church, we were so blessed in the first century, but by the second and third century, a religious spirit came. So people, they lost the gospel, that salvation is a gift by grace through faith. They felt they had to earn their way to heaven, and so they began to become very ascetic. They became celibate. You know, in fact, to this day, of course, you know, and I love the whole church, but the Roman Catholic Church, you cannot be a servant of God unless you're celibate. You can't get married. They made a vow of celibacy.
And poverty.
Poverty. That's the point I want to hit. Mm-hmm. And so this whole monastic movement in the 3rd century, 4th century began. It was extremely ascetic. Mm-hmm. And so the whole poverty and the obedience, they had to obey their abbot.
Yeah.
But here's what happened. Missionaries, when they got to India, they found that same spirit in India among the Buddhist monks. The Buddhist monks also made a vow of celibacy and poverty and obedience. And they were established 500 years before even Christ was born. And it just hit them. And they first thought, oh, there must have been someone from one of our monastic movement mm-hmm. that came to India to be a missionary, but there was no such. They were the first ones to go there, and they realized that it's the same spirit
yeah,
that
just
was
a lie from
and,
the devil.
And what happened yeah. was is that the monastic movement began to spread so because they felt like if you really want to be holy, if you want to go mm-hmm. to heaven, you have to be part of this order. One monastic movement had over 80,000 members in different monasteries. Wow. And so so they were working their way to heaven, and they felt like if you were poor, you were being spiritual, mm-hmm. and it's a lie from the pit of hell.
It's a lie from
the
pit of hell.
And it led the church into the dark ages because they withdrew from society.
Yeah.
Instead of being salt and light and occupying
until
instead
of filling the earth
just
with
withdrew,
the glory, they withdrew.
And so the rest is history.
Wow.
So that spirit has to be broken
well,
off.
Well, Jay, this book will help people yes. break any curse that is
right.
not unto blessing. And we want to thank you for the contribution. The decrees in this book are fantastic. When you decree a thing, it will be established.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for this contribution.
Well,
thank you for,
well, thank you,
for coming on the program
here.
And for sharing.
Thanks for being such a great friend.
God bless you.
Thank you.
And remember this, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll see you next time.